Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, dirty, dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. And today, June the 21st, is known as the summer solstice, the official start of summer via the summer equinox on the calendar, which means Friday's Bob's Bars show, where we slapped Mraz in the face with kielbasa, belched in his grill, and kicked him into the pool, really was perfectly timed. The summer is now officially here. Forget what you've heard about Memorial Day. Now it is here. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Coming up in 20 minutes, I taped an interview with Richard Sherman yesterday. Remember when we had McLovin on a couple of weeks ago because he had been voted off Stars on Mars, which is a Fox reality show where they replicated Mars in the middle of the Australian outback, remote area? Well, Richard Sherman also has been part of that show, and he has now been voted off. And so Richard Sherman will join us to discuss coming up in about 30 minutes from now. Again, I taped that yesterday with Richard. Now, I was not supposed to be on the schedule today. Yesterday began my second stint of paternity leave. You know, it's like an athlete leaving and coming back. I already had a couple of weeks paternity. They gave me a couple more. I said, I am taking that. And then, of course, as DA show lore goes, when I take off, big things happen. I took off and the biggest thing happened. I had this week scheduled for a long time to take off. And then suddenly, management tells me Mraz is leaving the show. Wait, what? If you've been listening over the course of this morning, you've already heard of this, but the Cliff's Notes version for you guys that are just tuning in. There's been a shakeup on the New York side of things. Craig Carton, longtime sports radio personality, is leaving for television full time, which means Tiki Barber is sliding into this slot, and they are also plucking Mraz, the corporate overlords, to leave here to go over there full time. And so Mraz has worked his butt off for more opportunities. He's done more hosting. He's hosted the One Giant Step podcast, affectionately known around here as One Giant Turd. They like him. They should like
him. Even more so now.
He's a big... What's that?
Even more so now.
He's, of course, a great personality, and they're hoping that he adds the spice of life to that show. And in many ways, that's a wonderful reflection of this show, that they need to take some of the magic from us and sprinkle it over there for an important day part. And so I say this with the most authenticity. I am extraordinarily proud of Mraz because I met him 10 and a half years ago when the guy didn't really know much about radio and had just come out of the Subway franchise. And I'm not talking about like the train. He was mostly a sandwich artist. And then he thrust in a radio, and I was like,
I met him on a staircase outside the E station at 34th Street. Would you like a sandwich, sir? No, but I could use a radio producer. I'm in.
Yeah, that was kind of the way that this thing built for Mraz. And I saw a guy that had incredible personality. I didn't know how much. I saw a guy with incredible passion for sports. And I saw a guy with an amazing backstory. He was named after the punter of the 86 Giants. And I said, I think we can work with this. And let's face it, over the years, I've beaten the crap out of Mraz in a lot of different ways professionally. We got to do it this way. We got to do it this way every single day. This is the process. This is the process. This is the process. And through it all, on the other side, you know, the guy has become so valuable within the organization, within the company, that they're moving him into a really important day part for what he brings to the table. So I am proud of him, and I'm thrilled for his upward mobility within the company and a chance for him to hopefully shine even more. Although I will say, I don't know how you shine any more than this show, because at this point in time, there are people that only tune into this show for you. I'm not sure if there's... I don't know if they'll... Are they going to do a year of the buffoon over there? That's seven minutes of good stuff that we do every single year.
But I mean, Dungeon, huh?
Big shoes to fill over there.
I don't know if you heard this, DA, but he can't even be Mraz over there. He has to be Sean Morash. So I don't know if he's allowed to be stupid on that side.
Yeah. Upon the announcement yesterday, I was texted within 1 minute, can you please switch your Twitter handle?
Oh, jeez.
So that I wanted to apologize to the listeners for that. That was not it.
Apparently,
they following management's lead.
They want his brains over there, not the personality.
No, they want the personality. They just, I guess, want my real name, I guess.
Which is kind of bizarre, because you build up something over 10 years, and I think it's pretty transferable. Like, the reason is that it's really catchy. Once upon a time, a listener mistakenly called you Mraz, as in Jason Mraz, the pop star.
Yes.
We were like, that's so funny. We should just keep rolling with it. And that's how everybody knows you. So I would think that it's transferable, but... Hell, what do I know? It's the corporate overlords that decide who's coming, who's going where, what have you. So we'll wage some type of war against WFAN New York at a later date. And for those tuning in right now going, oh my God, what does this mean for the show? You know, Mraz is only leaving to go down the hall. So this is good. He stays in the cluster, stays in the city. And so we're going to rope him in for some pretty consistent bits or what have you. I've already got some ideas, as you might imagine, to keep him part of the fabric of our family here, because even though he'll be gone, quote unquote, I mean, he's not that far away. Also, Bob's Bar just happened to be this amazing deal like 72 hours ago or so. So really great timing by the company. What I really wanted to do was have like our jewel event completely overshadowed with a huge bucket of cold water within the week. And thankfully, my boss decided that's the perfect plan, DA. Why don't we just crush all of that? So I will tell you that I have already gone into protection mode of Mraz can leave, but we need Bob's Bar. That gets grandfathered in.
Because... Bob, not part of these negotiations, by the way.
Well, once we gifted him the sign, I felt like that was a lifetime that we got to be at Bob's Bar every summer. So we are going to continue doing things like that. And I know plenty of you said, oh, I didn't make it this year. I want to do it next year. Fear not. We're going to kind of keep some of the big things in place for the show. And then for the next guy that steps in or gal that steps in, we're going to open up a search. And I don't know how that looks right now, but we are going to open our doors and see what is out there and who wants to work with us and who can be a benefit to the show. The good news is that we have a structure here where, you know, as wonderful as Mraz is, hopefully you guys still want to come to this show for the camaraderie and the fun and the laughter. Myself, Pete the Body, Andrew Bogish, and then everybody else cycles through here. You know, Carlos with a K and Pat Boyle and all the other guys that come through here, Greg Caserta, et cetera, Schwartz, they're all going to still be doing it. So we still have a wonderful roster, and the fun continues, and yeah, that's just always going to be the DNA of the show. But it's been an emotional morning around here, and I did want to just throw a bit of a firecracker in the toilet for a second here. You said before you had Badlands belch in your face that you were honored to have it and you were excited. And then on Friday when he did it, you nearly retched and you had tears in your eyes in a bad way, unlike today. How bad, we never got to this, how bad was the belch in your face?
It was awful and horrendous. And I would say that of all the things, the irony is that was by far the worst part of the punishment. It was one that wasn't even part of it. I told you I wanted Badlands, for as great a man as he is, his bowels must be some of the most disgusting that exist in America, because when I looked into his eyes, because that was the other part, I wanted to experience it without shutting my eyes. There were flakes of something, and I don't think they were donuts. It almost reminded me of like whatever that gold flaked vodka was that flew
gold
out of his
lager.
Yeah, it flew out of his mouth and hit me. And the smell. This is, I think, what was really alarming to me and made me gag and borderline vomit. It didn't smell of Diet Coke, nor did it smell of powdered donuts. The two things I had witnessed him smell. Oh God, I'm going to experience all the feels right now. I'm like thinking about it.
Move on.
It smelled like a dumpster.
Make somebody pee cry again.
There was something deep within the recesses of Badlands Booker that I smelled that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
Oh my God. So it is possible we have found the worst punishment for all of our bets. It is not death by salsa. It is actually having Badlands belch in your face.
I'm getting so nauseous again thinking about it. Yes, I'm telling you, I would rather eat hot salsa tenfold. By the way, we didn't get to this either. You started the whole show. Happy birthday, DA.
Oh, thank you.
What a day to celebrate. See ya.
Great gift.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. Today's your birthday of all this stuff, too.
Odyssey has delivered me what a wonderful birthday present. You know,
and 30 Odyssey coins.
I was going to take the 30 Odyssey coins instead, but I guess I'll opt for door number two, which is find a new executive producer. So that's what we'll do here moving forward. It is nice to know that we were kind of sentimental at the beginning of the show, and I think we'll continue to do so over the course of the next month. This doesn't transition until the end of July, so we have some weeks to process everything. But today's been a difficult day for a lot of us. And, you know, Pete the Body was incredibly sentimental and emotional to start off the show, and Mraz got all choked up as well. But it is nice to see that not everybody within the CBS Sports Radio family is all that sentimental. Joey Waller commenting on the video of Pete the Body saying, boy, this is up there with Mike Schmidt bawling at his Hall of Fame induction.
Being compared to Mike Schmidt is an honor. Thank you.
Also, Peter Schwartz has posted a picture of the original overnight crew, myself, Mraz, Schwartz, and Kenny Brock. This was at Mraz's wedding, and Schwartz says, looks like DA is the sole survivor from how it all started. Congrats to Mraz. So I wonder what do I win for being the last man on the island here?
Your name remains the only on the show.
That's 30 Odyssey coins.
I get another 30 Odyssey coins.
Now you get a whole pen to write down the answers of the people you interview for Sean's job.
And had to ask for 30 more Odyssey coins.
What does 60 Odyssey coins get me these days?
Fanny pack.
One Odyssey sock.
Yes.
Especially the shrinkflation where it is. Do I get one of the candy bars that's hanging from the candy machine?
I think you get Carlos feeding your meter. I think that's exactly what happens.
Or if you're listening earlier, you get an Odyssey branded romper that Boyle would have normally worn, but now you get instead.
One. Yes.
So here's the next question. Has any of the part-timers stepped over the dead bodies to say, I'd like to be considered for the show?
I mean, to me?
Because it's going to be cutthroat, you know. They're barely going to let this cadaver get cold.
I would tell you that I've at least gotten 8 to 9 questions of people who work here. Do you know who's replacing you? And they are people without current full-time roles. Yes.
I see.
I won't name names, but yeah. Look, and I think that's a credit, though, all joking aside. This is going to be a desirable position, but I want to warn whoever gets this job. God bless you, because you're getting back to, I hope you're getting 2013-14 DA, where he is really trying to mold you. I hope you don't get soft dad, Rosie the cat dad, father DA. I hope you deal with everything I dealt with in those early years.
I'll name one name. Kevin Wall's here this morning doing, I don't know what, because he's not working for us. But I did see him out there doing like voice scales, like warming up his voice. So Wall came back at a good time from Connecticut.
Doing a lot of walking around.
Wall also invited himself to a company softball game and somehow played. So I think he's really trying to Yeah, he's trying to push himself into
Come
the mix
on.
Here. So he'll definitely be on that list. Yes.
I love this. I sent out the email of what the game plan is going to be this week, and obviously what we're going to do with interviews and moving forward in terms of the potential replacements. And Cap's response was, can we stream the interviews on Twitch?
Cap's always thinking, you know what? HBO's looking for a team to volunteer for Hard Knocks. Maybe it's not football. Maybe it's the DA show.
And don't think I have not considered this. Do not think for a moment I have not considered
this. American Idol.
There was also, and I think we could put this to bed, there was also somebody on Twitch that wondered, wait a minute, is this why he who should not be named had flown in for the weekend? Was he here for an interview with you?
And that's a fair question. How much did everybody know on Friday? And the answer is none. They asked me for a meeting after the show on Monday, knowing that Monday was my last show before my paternity leave. And so Monday we got done with the show at 10 a.m. and I walked into the office and there was not one but two executives. And anytime you have two executives, you know that that news is not a great news for you. It's usually one is trying to talk you down, the other one is trying to pull you away from killing the other guy. So that was the game plan from corporate.
Or bring your playbook.
On Monday, yes. And as I expressed my feelings about it, and I'll be honest, I said I would never stand in the way of Merez advancing or any of the guys within the show. I said I've never done that in my entire career.
It's Sean Morris to you now, pal.
And I said, you know, that's nobody stood in my way, and I would never do that to anybody else. However, these were my concerns about how everything has been handled, X, Y, Z. And it was classic corporate handbook. We understand where you're coming from. You're not wrong. I agree with a lot of what you said. Kind of just hoping that I, Mirage, you used this term for somebody who was really drunk on Friday, let him punch himself out. It was the corporate handbook is just like, let the angry guy punch himself out until he's too exhausted to keep fighting.
Rope-a-dump.
You know, I kept my composure, but there is a series of things that I find aggravating or frustrating about this situation that does not pertain specifically to wanting to prevent Merez from leaving. So I, like I said, thrilled that he gets to continue his career. And I'm also thrilled that the listenership cares this much. You know, when you do a show like this, at least for me, I've tried to express this to the corporate overlords as well. I just want the show to matter to somebody. And the fact that it matters so much to listeners means that it feels like what we do is important, because you don't want to just talk into a microphone about Bradley Beal leaving. Like, that just is not that fulfilling. What you want is to have a connection with somebody somewhere that says that's important enough to listen to, because I feel a kinship. I like those guys. I don't like those guys. They're funny. They're entertaining. They're crazy. They're goofy. They remind me of me or whatever, my friends. And so the fact that we have that and there's so many people that are like really crushed by the news today means that we've done something right. And I'm very proud of that. And I'm really proud of Merez, because he has come a long way since I met him 10 and a half years ago. And now it's just amazing that he's like a commodity. That
oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
Right? It's like the corporate overlords were like, no, we need some Merez in this show. We want Merez in this show to make it work.
Morash. Like, I'm a lot like Sriracha, a late rise into the 2000s.
2023 is the year of Merez?
It's true. It's the summer of Merez.
Wow. Maybe.
So I think, you know, we're all feeling quite torn around here because we're losing a close friend and obviously a huge member of the show, but we're also all thrilled for him as well. So, Merez, I'm wondering, you got choked up hour number one.
Yeah.
And I was out. Actually, I took a little hike in between my two radio spots today.
Boy, time to hike with the baby, too? You're living some life on your birthday.
Well, I'm telling you, this Snoo thing, he's sleeping in the bassinet, so I can tiptoe well, out.
That's Snoo.
But you know, when he's asleep, you still need to be around him, right? You're not leaving him alone in the Snoo for a couple hours? Like, I'll take a hike, buddy. See.
I had not been alerted to that. I thought when he's sleeping, I get to leave the house. But so I got out of the house, and so I came back, and my wife said, you know, Merez nearly got me as well, top of the eight. So I don't know what you said, but it sounded like you got emotional. So
you're not completely
pushing through yet.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, you could go back and listen. I can't say nice things about you to your face, so I had to wait for you to be off the air.
Because Cap told him to.
Cap, yeah, of course, Cap's always the messenger. He goes, are you going to talk about DA at all? I mean, we kind of need this back here, so...
Does he need it for clip purposes?
I guess they got him working the wheels back there for sure. For sure. But I said, if I'm going to do it, I'm not ready to say goodbye to you. And obviously we have 3 weeks to do that. So I couldn't, don't take it as offensive. I cannot do this with you here yet.
No, I don't take it as offensive. What I do like is the fact that it's been a bad thing that I've turned less angry. What you're saying is I'm not.
Oh, I hope you turn it up again.
That I'm not as fun of a boss to have around nowadays because I got the baby and the cat.
No. You're more fun for me. What I'm hoping is whoever takes my role has to go through what I went through. Nobody should get Rosie the cat playing with toys, D.A. diving into the snow on his own, throwing catches to him, D.A., right out of the gate. That would not be fair to me.
I guess it's like when trying to think who's like a hard ass coach that finally softened. Maybe like Popovich. Has Pop softened a little bit over the years?
I think for sure.
Well, I mean, Coughlin's a little bit.
Coughlin's famous for that softening.
Coughlin, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Coughlin. Suddenly, I'm bringing you guys to Whataburger.
Right. I feel like Strahan at the end. Right. Exactly. Where was this early?
So we're gonna have to orchestrate a few things that we do over this last month together, because we were all going to be kind of apart because of vacations and paternity and what have you.
Again, great timing again.
Yeah, well, the corporate overlords have really thought this thing through. And so timing is, we've got about a month here to finish things off with Mraz. So we'll have to try to map out when we can all be together for
right.
a good
and we need, and we need to stress that is we're going to try to map it out, but unfortunately, will not be exactly a full month of shows together just based on our schedule.
Guys, do we right. think that they did think this through? That they did this on purpose now because you weren't going to be around, particularly DA, and somehow that would...
They were trying to duck him being angry?
Yeah, like almost like a Friday news dump. Like, oh, he's going on paternity leave again. Let's sneak this out and maybe not have the same visceral reaction to it.
You know, that would actually be... That would actually be... more respectful if they actually had considered my reaction, but I do not think I was considered much in the grand scheme of timing for all of this. I think it was they do what they do and let the network be damned.
Unfortunately, but yeah.
Okay. Good talk. Glad I asked. Good
talk. Good talk. Good talk.
The NBA draft's tomorrow night.
Yeah, the NBA draft. Another good one to be all for. Yeah, thanks, pal. We'll see you Friday as we recap.
Also, we took one of the most sentimental shows that we'll ever do, perhaps the most, and we added the wacky fun stunt to a news story of five people suffocating to death in a submarine under the sea.
Boyle really reading a room.
Boyle, can we do a lighthearted stunt? Like, isn't there a cat that ran for mayor somewhere? I mean, come on.
He was also my chump.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right, exactly. Everybody's crying. Nobody can control themselves. We're going to be made fun of by everybody throughout the day after these crying videos go out. And there's Boyle. Five people dying, 24 hours to live. They deserved it.
Seriously.
And Carlos, I agree. They deserved it too. Yeah. That's basically what we got.
It's Death Watch 2023. You know, he's not wrong. Can we just get like a crazy guy that rode on top of a hang glider into a house or something? Come on.
Unbelievable.
There's got to be a dog for mayor in Alaska at some point.
Actually, that dog also applying for my job.
And also considered for the other show as well before you got it.
Exactly. Non-human applicants are
exactly,
welcome.
Exactly, exactly. Their feces smell the same.
We're allowed to have a litter box for them, but not for you, so that's a plus.
So we are hugely proud of Mraz, and we're very thankful that you guys, all the listeners, care as much as you do, and you'll be clicked into how the process goes to find Mraz's replacement, and Mraz is not going to leave completely. We're going to keep pulling, yanking him back into the craziness of this show as much as possible, because thankfully, he's still in the building, just down the hall. He didn't have to go to Tucson to get this job. He's actually just a couple of steps away, so that's good news.
Sorry, Tucson. I'm out.
Can we somehow send Sean, like, double trip to the next Super Bowl? One for the fan, one for us, so Pete still can't go? And Sean somehow goes twice on the same trip?
You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, is that possible?
That is going to be a rude awakening when we're not on Radio Row and Mraz is.
Don't think I didn't think of that with the timing in Vegas this year, believe me.
Nice to see you. Oh, you guys didn't make it?
Me and Silverman will be kicking back beers.
Yeah.
So Tucson, just so you know, coming up, it's Big Baby and Jocko. That's what you got to set your sights on now.
The real losers in this, Tucson.
It's the Billy Jack Show with Big Baby. Glenn Davis is like, who am I working with? I'm going to toss to an interview coming up here after the break. I interviewed Richard Sherman yesterday after he got excommunicated from Stars on Mars. And then I am signing off. The guys will take you the rest of the way, and we'll continue chatting throughout this entire process. The DA Show on CBS Sports.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, Make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Meola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. Men's National Team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio.
The only radio show where listeners are invited to their childhood homes. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. DA with you. Our next guest is a Super Bowl champion. He was a member of the all-decade team of the NFL in the 2010s and made five Pro Bowls. He's also an analyst for the NFL, and you are watching him Monday nights, Stars on Mars on Fox. We actually had one of your fellow members of this show, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, join us a couple of weeks back. Joining us here on the show today is the elite corner and analyst for the NFL, Richard Sherman. Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great. I love the fact that we got Christopher Mintz-Plasse, better known as McLovin, here on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he had never tried Hennessy before he met you and Marshawn Lynch. He said that was his introduction. Now that he loves it. So congratulations, you turned him into a believer.
Right. That's mostly Marshawn. I'm a tequila guy, but Marshawn definitely gave him a taste of it, and Chris is awesome.
I told him, man, like most people's first experiences with some type of alcohol, usually really bad, but he had an elite, legendary experience. If the first time you try Hennessy is with Marshawn Lynch and you, I mean, that's way better than drinking like behind the school when you're in like 10th grade or something like that.
Right. I would imagine that. Yeah, it was on the rooftop in, where were we at, Adelaide or somewhere?
Yeah, that's what he was saying. How was the trip into the Australian outback? I mean, that flight or multiple flights and then getting dropped there must have been insane.
Yeah, it was a long day. I think it was 30 hours of flying, 32, something like that. But I mean, it is what it is. You kind of sleep most of the flight. And once you get there, you just kind of, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, you kind of prepare yourself and get the job done.
You line up a lot of movies on a 32-hour flight, or are you able to sleep right through the bulk of it?
A little bit of movies. I mean, you got your iPad and, you know, your normal movies, you know, you get through a series or something, you know, whether it's Marvel, the Avengers or some, and then you, once you land, you're good to go.
I tell you, you played on some teams that might have made a good reality television show. So was this kind of natural for you to be part of a real one on Fox?
It was different, you know, like I said before, it's just a lot of camera time and a lot of lack of privacy. So that's what kind of put me off the show. You know, without that, I think I would have probably tried to stay a little longer and enjoy myself a little more. But, you know, I just at that point had enough.
So that just kind of broke you, the invasion of privacy and the cameras following you every minute of every day.
I mean, it didn't really break me more than it just irritated me and annoyed me. At that point, it was like, okay, well, I don't need to be here to do this. You know?
Yeah, I don't blame you. Is that the same as Hard Knocks? I have to imagine that players don't love and coaches don't love the cameras following Hard Knocks as well.
I have no idea. I've never been on Hard Knocks, but I would guess, you know, I mean, the coaches wouldn't like it. You know, it's kind of, you know, they keep everything close to the vest. So, you know, with shows like that, you got to kind of expose yourself and open yourself up to people seeing the inner workings of your organization.
Richard Sherman joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Stars on Mars is on Fox. How'd you like the foray into being an analyst in the NFL?
I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. Getting to travel, be at the games, feel the energy, you know, talk about the game. It's a lot of fun.
I was working in Boston in what I feel is kind of like one of the first chapters of the Seahawks dynasty to greatness, or at least the Seahawks door to greatness, is when you guys had the Patriots come up
to Seattle, and after the game, you guys shut down the Pats and Tom Brady, and you kind of came up to Brady and said, "You mad, bro?" and things like that. And I remember thinking, boy, this is such a bold team that the Patriots were kind of the standard, and you guys feared them so little. And rarely did a team face the Patriots like that and handle it like that. Do you remember how you guys felt going into that game, maybe looking for the respect that might come with beating a team like the Pats?
I don't know. I think we just kind of understood what we had, and we really didn't, we didn't think anybody else was better than us, so it didn't matter if it was the Pats or anybody else. We just felt really confident in the group we had and our ability to execute down the stretch, and that's how it was, So, playing against a player of Tom's caliber was always a great challenge and something we looked forward to. At that point, I don't think he knew who we were, but he was facing an elite defense, and I think he had only thrown two interceptions on the season, and he threw two in that game. Should have been three, but Earl dropped one.
Well, it was such a bold call by you and the rest of that defense, and that's rare, having played in the NFL that long. I mean, you were part of a team that had a confidence and a swagger that is rare, especially before you win big. Was that just the attitude of you guys individually, or did that come because collectively you fed off one another? What's the genesis of that from that Seahawks team?
I think it came because we worked hard and we prepared well. So that's where the confidence came from. You don't work hard, you don't prepare well, it's hard to be confident, but you put the work in, you put the man hours in, you study the game like you're supposed to, you communicate like you're supposed to, you sacrifice like you're supposed to, then you earn the right. And that's where we were. When we play, we felt like we earned the right to speak how we wanted to speak and be how we wanted to be because we put the time in.
What's been your take this offseason on running backs around the NFL really not getting a lot of respect from GMs? It feels like all these all-pro or Pro Bowl caliber running backs, most GMs in front offices are like, well, we don't really need you anymore. What's been your thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's been like that for a long time. I don't think that's just this year. I think that's been over the last decade, since everybody went air raid and, throwing the ball more. After Peyton had that season, his MVP season, threw 50 touchdowns, it's been air raid, air raid, air raid. And they feel like running backs are a dime a dozen. They're special talents, they're transcendent talents. But you may find a kid undrafted out of, Wichita Valley State that may get the job done just as well as the Pro Bowl All-Pro guy. And so it's just one of those positions that I think GMs feel like other guys can do and can do it well, especially teams running this outside, inside zone, mid zone scheme. They feel like if you got enough speed, they can find a guy to do it.
College football, I feel like in your era, had there been NIL, you could have capitalized on that. You always were an effervescent and compelling personality. How do you feel watching athletes finally get compensated at the collegiate level?
It's cool. You would have wished the NCAA would have just freaking took the deal earlier and just done it the right way and kind of made a system and gave guys and made it similar to the NFL and just made it a scale and guys, instead of it being the wild, wild west. But they fought it for so long that they lost control of it. And, this is the result. People trying to monopolize something for so long and, making billionaires and leaving these guys to fend for themselves a lot of times. But I'm happy to see guys getting paid. I think it's unfortunate some of the guys that get messed over in the transfer portal and all that. I think they need to get that under control. But, yeah, it's anytime guys are getting money in their pockets, I'm happy to hear it.
Richard Sherman is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. You won a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson. Now he's got a new coach in Denver. What do you think is the key for Sean Payton to unlock a better version of Russ than we saw last year?
Well, I think Sean will do a great job of studying his tape and studying the things that he did well in Seattle and things he had a lot of success with and building an offense around it. And also sprinkling in the things that, have been a staple for Sean's offenses with Drew and trying to find that hybrid, that middle ground that works for both sides. And I think he'll find that. They got talent at the receiver. I think they got some question marks on the offensive line, that they tried to sew up with Mike McGlinchey. But I feel like, there's a chance, but it's the league. That's a tough division to play in with the Chargers and the Chiefs and the Raiders. So it's going to be a dogfight regardless.
For sure. Last year when they when the Broncos played the Seahawks, you could tell that that was an intense game for everybody on the Seahawks. Pete admitted as much. Former players did as well. How was your relationship with Russ? Do you feel the same stuff when that was kind of bubbling up last year when they played?
We don't really, you know, we have a relationship as, you know, former teammates, but we don't have a relationship like pretext or anything. I think that was a big game for Pete just based off of everything that happened that year. You traded the guy. He had been the franchise quarterback for a while. He had been the standard. You know, everybody's saying you're tanking and you're not going to be anything. That's the first chance people got to see that Seahawks team and the first chance you got to see that Broncos team. And so, and it was him coming back to CenturyLink. It was just a lot of things, a culmination of a lot of things. And so it meant a lot for Pete to pull that game off when they're supposed to be the underdogs and not supposed to win. And then Denver season kind of spiraling after that.
Great coaching job last year by Pete, and the Seahawks end up making the postseason. We'll see if they can build off of that. Stars on Mars on Fox is Monday nights, and Richard Sherman was part of this for the last couple of weeks. Unfortunately now, or maybe fortunately, you've exited. I guess you kind of chose your path here. You were kind of done with this, weren't you?
Yeah. I definitely chose my path. You know, I said, hey, you guys, you're mission critical. I've done my part. Enjoy yourselves.
This is like when you leave OTAs and go, yeah, I will see you for the season. You guys can do the rest of the mini camps without me.
You guys have a lot of fun without me. I'll see you when it matters.
Richard Sherman, a five-time Pro Bowler, member of the All-Decade team, will be a Pro Football Hall of Famer one day and a Super Bowl champion, part of Stars on Mars on Fox, Monday nights across the country starting at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Richard, I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, D.A., for interviewing Richard Sherman on the show. Me and Bogus are hosting today.
That was the first way D.A. was inserting himself in today's show. And then he got rid of Sean, so we had to come back on and double down.
By the way, for those who don't like guests, you're going to get plenty of them over the next 2 days. Baseball, NBA draft, football. I stacked it up because I'm done crying. I'm already getting made fun of it at other stations right now. We're
you're
just going
to learn about sports.
Yeah, well, a lot of sports the next 2 days. Deal with it. We're going to the DA show needs this weekend to gather ourselves, okay?
Well, you only got 5 more weeks to book guests, so get them all in while you can.
I got news for you.
Uh-oh. Never mind. Scrap that. Hi, this is Sean Morash.
I'm going to be forwarding a lot of these over to Pete and Cap for the time being. I just wanted to see Pete.
I told Cap before to leave a camera on Pete at all times because there's been the widest array of facial expressions and reactions from Pete this morning.
And now, without further ado, the fresh prince of the mothership, Pat Boyle.
All right, gentlemen, we'll make this quick here. Reds made the folks at Great American Ballpark sweat. They jumped out to an 8-2 lead over Colorado. Fast forward to the top of the ninth, it's 8-6, two outs, bases loaded. But closer Alexis Diaz whiffed Jorge Alfaro to end the game. Reds beat the Rockies 8-6. They are Reds hot. 10 wins in a row.
All right.
Yeah.
I get it.
Two other scores I haven't mentioned today, so we're going to give you everything. The Guardians trailed the A's for most of the game in Cleveland. Then they rallied. Then Andrés Giménez walked it off in the 10th with an RBI single. Guardians sink the A's 3-2. Oakland, 6 straight losses. They're now 19-56. Quick math. Anybody know their pace?
No.
41-121. That's
damn. Nuts.
That's what they're on pace to do.
That feels like a lot of wins for them.
I mean, that's if they continue on this pace.
Right.
Now, they could go further off the trails.
But I know that's not a lot, but it feels like a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a number where it automatically somebody, the whole front office gets fired? Is it like in the 30s, I guess?
Good point.
That could be the Pete Bilotti. What is it called when SMU, the death penalty, right?
The death penalty.
That's right.
That's the Major League Baseball death penalty.
Relegation.
You don't get the 40 wins, you're done.
Done for the day.
That should be a rule.
Yeah.
Daniel Lynch, Daniel Lynch, 7 innings of one-hit ball. Royals squeak past the Tigers, 1-0, and a star-studded affair in Detroit. And it appeared that Gabe Kapler was on the hot seat 2 weeks ago with the Giants foundering away at .500. Now the only thing that's hot is his team.
There go the runners, the pitch.
Oh. Outside, he walked him. Matos can hop, skip, and jump to home plate.
I don't know who was screaming over John Miller there. That is the legendary John Miller. Giants trail the Padres 3-1. They chipped away. Jock Peterson, game-tying home run in the eighth. Then that bases loaded walk-off walk that you heard in the ninth. They beat the Padres 4-3, win their ninth in a row. We'll skip past the Victor Wembanyama stuff. You guys were talking about him before. He's going to go number one overall tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Spurs will take all the time off the clock, though.
They probably will.
Yeah.
I did have some Chris
Paul. It
won't
be spur of the moment.
Damn it. I thought that was
it's
an actual
funny.
Point.
I had some Chris Paul sound. We're going to skip over him. He's basically, he just said on Good Morning America on ABC, he was as surprised as them to find out.
Bro,
he
was getting 2 days ago. We're over that sound.
Come well, on. No, I know, but I was using that then to transition into some of the other quick hitters.
We played
here.
That all morning yesterday.
Raptors guard Gary Trent Jr. picked up his.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, Raptors guard Gary Trent Jr. picked up his $18.5 million player option. He's back for the Great North next year.
Great.
Washington losing everybody. Wizards forward Kyle Kuzma declined his $13 million player option. He's a free agent. And after Draymond Green declined his player option, new Warriors GM Mike Dunleavy Jr. spent a portion of his introductory press conference by stressing that Golden State really wants Draymond back.
Also from yesterday.
Yep.
He's Dunleavy for the day.
All right. Yep. And then you've heard the Men's College World Series a couple of times already.
That's
LSU.
Still going on?
Yeah. You've got to flag another week. LSU beat Tennessee
5-0. Oral Roberts won last week.
TCU beat Oral Roberts 6-1.
Oh, so they're out. They're done for the day.
They're done. They took him to
done
the dentist.
For the year. Wow.
Took him to the cleaners, took him to the dentist.
Spit him down the drain.
Sorry for the toothpaste school. All right, we come back, an epic fail. Let's see what Carlos with a mouse and a computer is carved up. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Boyle and fan of male rompers. How you dressed like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
You like this? I got the matching shorts. They're coming in the mail.
You can't wear them together.
Why? That's the whole point. It's a set.
I had to drive with Pat Boyle's underwear in my car today to deliver it back then.
It's not underwear. It's shorts.
And what the hell is that smell?
They're not compression. They're shorts.
Just because they're tight, that doesn't mean they're compression shorts.
Thank you.
You have a tight body.
Where's Tubbs? What's his name? What's the other guy from Miami Vice?
Tubbs.
It is Tubbs, right?
Tubbs is Miami Vice. Chubbs is from Happy Gilmore.
Shut up, Happy. Don't feel bad about me.
What's wrong with the matching set? You know, I was thinking about getting like those male rompers for this summer.
All right, I can't defend
those
you.
Those exist?
Conversely, some men need to be hit back.
Nobody can put on a male romper less than me. You know, all it takes is one bad batch of taco dip on a summer party, and I'm running for the hill. Could you imagine me scrambling? How do you get this thing off?
I can't talk too long. I gotta poo.
Somebody get me a funnel.
You gotta do it sideways.
I like to eat it raw sometimes.
They're really male rompers?
Of course they
Absolutely,
are.
Absolutely, man.
There's a male equivalent to everything.
In seahorses, it's actually the males that get pregnant.
Nice summer day on the pier in Hoboken. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and wear that top and bottom all you want. Get different variations of it. This one I can't allow.
All right. Well, I'm going to show up very soon this summer on the shift that I'm filling in for. And
you know what?
Wearing it.
You know what they call the store where they sell the rompers?
Oh, no.
The romper room.
It's not funny.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Good times, good times. Well, guess what, Bogues? If people felt like they didn't get enough sports today, you'll get that from me on BetQL from 3 to 7 today, as I now have all the days.
Are you leaving that show, too? Are you going to cry like a baby from 3
Perhaps.
To 7 as well?
Congrats to the great Nick Costos, you know, an Odyssey family member, getting married this week, and I will be filling in for him today and tomorrow. And most of next week, I'll be pulling doubles as well.
But is that another job that could be open in the future that we should line up for as well?
Costo's backup?
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps.
Oh, all right.
Perhaps. So I will be on You Better You Bet on free on the Odyssey app or whatever, hosting or whatever. And anywhere, you know, some of your local affiliates from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern today, I will be there. Tomorrow we will have hopefully some NBA draft prep. Finally, we'll move forward. So this is the deal. I mean, DA is going to be out the next 2 days. We're going to try to go back to our sports roots and zaniness and have fun the next 2 days, Bogues, me and you. Next week, a little reset. I know it's definitely me and you Monday. There's some talks about DA and paternity leave being short, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And then the week after, I am... Oh, no, the week after is 4th of July.
Right, so there's different combinations.
Different combinations, as you can imagine, holiday week. And then that week of July 10th, I am finally on vacation this summer.
See ya.
Taking the family, Lake George, Sesame Place, hitting all, you know, Americana drivable, baby. Then that week
Scrotum,
of...
Scrotum, Pennsylvania.
Right. No Great Wolf Lodge this route. Then that week of July 17th, I can confirm... I don't know about you. I don't know about Pete, but I can confirm the DA and I will be together that full week.
Yes.
And that will be the farewell week for me on the DA Show.
Omelet stations every morning.
So that'll do it. An emotional day. Hopefully we could just kind of get normal until that week of the 17th. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti. Kind words, brother-in-arms on the wheels of steel. Thanks to Carlos with a velvet hat, your producer today. Thanks to Pat Boyle on the updates with a terrible shirt.
Terrible.
Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, a Wizard of Watch DA, getting people to make fun of me. And thank you, folks.
All right, man. I love you.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. That's it, baby. The mothership disconnects.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.